Jose Antonio Vargas is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, a former reporter for The Washington Post, and one of the most prominent immigrant rights activists in the country. So it's no surprise that he recently traveled to the border for a news conference and vigil for the tens of thousands of children crossing into the United States from Central America. Vargas is also an immigrant himself. In fact, he's been living in the United States without legal documentation for years. Born in the Philippines, his mother sent him to the U.S. in 1993 when he was just 12. And as he recently wrote in Politico magazine, Vargas does not have a single U.S. government-issued ID. Which is why, when he tried to board a plane in McAllen, Texas this week, he was temporarily detained by U.S. immigration officials. Jose Antonio Vargas joins us now to talk about what happened and what it says about the current immigration crisis on the U.S. border. Jose Antonio Vargas, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, and I really appreciated your introduction because you kind of connected the dots that I think I've been doing some interviews in the past couple of days. Is I went to South Texas to McAllen to document and to chronicle what's happening at one of the shelters where a lot of these kids, these Central American children, are being processed and being received. So it was natural for me to go down there. Mm. And because a lot of people have been saying, a lot of cynical people have been saying, oh, was this a stunt? Did you go there to purposely get arrested?
Well, I want to ask you about that in a second, but I actually want to back up a little bit first because, I mean, as we noted, you don't have any U.S. government-issued ID. You travel on a Filipino passport.
Yes.
But did you realize that they were going to do an immigration check when you boarded the plane in Texas? Because usually they don't necessarily do that for domestic flights in the United States, but they do in certain places along the border.
Actually, I've been traveling for the past 3 years, you know, as an openly undocumented person, and I've done maybe 250 events in 43 states, and this was the first time that there was a Border Patrol agent sitting there checking with the TSA agent at an airport. Doesn't happen at San Diego Airport, didn't happen anywhere in Arizona that I visited in. So no, this is actually the first time that's happened for me, at least. But it tells you, though, about what it means to travel in this country without papers, right? For me, because I look the way that I do, I rarely, you know, no one, when I show them my Filipino passport, no one kind of bats an eye. They just assume that everything's fine. But that just kind of shows the cracks in the system.
Yeah. Well, you were detained for less.
It was only about 8 hours.
Yeah, it was less than a day.
It wasn't that long.
I mean, what's your status now vis-a-vis your interactions with U.S. Immigration officials? Do you have to appear before them again?
Yes, actually. Well, for the first time, I mean, somewhat ironic. This is the first time that actually the U.S. government, at least you know, the immigration government here. Acknowledges my existence. They haven't done that before. So now I have to appear before a judge to figure out what they want to do. I mean, they gave me what you call a notice to appear, kind of a warrant for arrest event. So basically I have to carry these pieces of documents that says...
Well, acknowledge your existence in terms of your interactions with immigration authorities. I think many Americans have acknowledged your existence in other ways. I mean, you won the Pulitzer Prize. You've testified before Congress, etc.
People don't understand that to be undocumented, right, means that you don't have proper documents. You don't have proper papers that show that you're supposed to be here legally.
Well, what I wanted to ask you was something that you had hinted at earlier, that you were detained for about 8 hours.
Yeah.
During that time, many immigration activists took to social media. They took to, you know, they put out press releases, etc., calling for your release, which is what made others think this was a publicity stunt. Was it? Or you're saying that it's not?
No, it was not. I mean, this is where it gets really interesting. So once I realized that I was trapped there, I had to figure out how I was going to get out. I had to get out of there somehow, right? It was either I get out of it through being driven through a checkpoint, which meant that the person driving me would be smuggling me if they got caught, or I had to get out either by flying, or I stay in McAllen until they pass immigration reform. So those were the three options, right? Or actually, one of my friends said, hey, why don't you get somebody to get you a private plane? I'm like, are you kidding? Like, that's completely out of the table. So I had to pick one of those three options. And so my lawyers and I talked, and like, they thought that flying, right, would be for me, given that I flew into there, flying out was the only really way I could go out. But we had to figure out, I had to email all of my friends and, of course, talk to my family members because, you know, my grandmother is, like, the person that I worry about most. And I had to, like, make sure that if I got arrested, which was likely, that she wouldn't freak out and, you know, she's going to think, you know, that everything is going to be fine. But because of that, we had to figure out what we're going to say. So the moment, like, maybe about 30 seconds before I went into the TSA line at the airport, I tweeted out, I'm about to go through the checkpoint. I mean, you know, the airport, I don't know what's going to happen.
Right. And then that let everyone know what
exactly
was about.
Exactly. And then we told...
If I may just interrupt and forgive the interruption, because I don't want to run out of time to talk about the big issue here, which is what's happening right now on the border. Because many people say that your detention and your subsequent release, isn't really related to what's happening on the border because you no longer have ties to the Philippines. You've been in this country for years. You don't have any strong immediate cultural connections to the country of your birth. So your release from detention was understandable, whereas these children who are currently crossing the border still do have those strong ties. And so therefore, maybe their circumstances and treatment should be different. Do you draw that same distinction?
That is where you and I do not draw that same distinction.
I'm not necessarily drawing it. I'm just reflecting what people have been saying about what happened.
There. By the way, I have a tie to the Philippines. My mother is in the Philippines. I haven't seen her for 21 years next month. That's the tie.
Mm-hmm.
I came down there last Thursday before knowing what was going to happen because I wanted to look in the eyes of those children and I wanted to make a statement that when you see those children, you think of possibility. We talk about them as if they're insects on our backs. What is happening right now is not only a humanitarian crisis, it's a moral crisis. The fact that we're actually thinking of sending them back to the hell that they just came from, are we serious about that? Is the only piece of legislation this Congress is going to pass a piece of legislation that deports children?
Well, Jose, if I may just ask, we've got less than a minute to go. What do you think what happened this week tells you briefly about what many call sort of the patchwork nature of how immigration and immigration enforcement is done in the United States?
Well, I mean, from the very beginning, when I outed myself 3 years ago, this is why, against the advice of most of my lawyers, I wrote in detail what I had to do to survive. That's why I wrote in that political piece, I have no single piece of government-issued ID, right? I've been practicing here a radical form of transparency just to kind of show people what it means to live in this kind of a situation. And if there was any proof that how broken and how cracked the system is, this is certainly one of them.
Right. Jose Antonio Vargas is an immigrant rights activist and a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist as well. Thank you so much for speaking with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.